Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving
now,
further from sobriety.
It's every time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art. With your hosts, Leslie M. Scott Jones and David Ron Strong. Now here's David.
Hello, Charlottesville.
What the hell was that, Clinton?
We don't know.
I'm going to let that ride.
I think Clinton forgot my name there for a second.
Like, let's sleep.
Yeah, right. He was like,
Nah, y'all funny. I love you so much. Clinton Johnson, executive producer of Homegrown. Giving you the stuff. This is Homegrown, your show about local art. Hello! Charlottesville. It is Sunday. It is 10 o'clock, and that means Homegrown is in your ear. See, I forgot everything. WPVC 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
I know.
I got the oldness.
It's Sunday, and it's early. I know.
Oh, my God. I am David Von Strong, a.k.a. the devious one, a.k.a. nefarious rucker, a.k.a. Negro Suave, a.k.a. Black Frodo. Little guy. 3 feet. Trying to get through the darkness. Y'all know how it be. Hashtag Trump's America.
Trying to get through the whiteness.
You know?
Yes. Yes.
That kid's apology was written for him. I'm astonished.
I know.
I'm shocked that it wasn't genuine.
Yes.
You know, we were too hard on him. That liberal media.
Whatever. You know,
he's just trying to.
Can I just say.
Just trying to start an application. That's all.
If I had ever even thought, just thought, about standing in front of an elder with any type of look on my face like that little boy had on his face, I would not be alive today.
They're lovely, the loquacious, the lascivious. Leslie M. Scott Jones.
I would not be alive. I might have made it home. Probably would have happened in the car, but like my parents would have knocked the fire out my throat.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Well, so I want to give clarification, and I don't want to be like one of those to be fair type individuals, but apparently the indigenous person, Native American Nathan Phillips, he stepped in the middle of an altercation between white kids, other people. I don't know. They said they were black Israelite.
Whatever.
People. I mean, it could have been whoever.
Right.
But it's funny that now it's black identity extremists that caused all of this.
They were in D.C.
You know that we were going to be the problem some way. So.
Right.
We're going to find this way to twist this around to black people.
Right.
Give us a minute. Give us a minute, America.
Give us a minute. Hold on. Let's
make it happen.
There was a black person in the audience. Well, it's their fault.
Whatever it was, that frame was so poignant of smug,
yes,
white,
yes,
pretentiousness to know that you can just do whatever in front of whoever and not get in trouble
and
about it. And that's
trouble.
What that red cap is about.
Exactly.
Getting that privilege back.
Yep.
And having that privilege all of the time. And that's what that frame represented to America. So it's not necessarily the kid's fault, but it's what America's doing to the kid. And I don't necessarily blame it on him. He's a minor. He don't know the information that he's being fed.
See, I don't know.
He's not responsible
to
a certain degree. I'm trying to be like MLK and less like Malcolm.
No,
I'm putting on my MLK side.
I understand that.
Malcolm's going to have to hold off for a minute. I'm trying to be MLK.
I'm over here, one, as a black mama, and two, I'm a little more like Malcolm.
No, I hear you.
You 17 years old. You know exactly what you're doing. You know exactly what you can get away with. You know exactly what is going to be allowed by the adults that are with you, and you trying it.
And I'm not completely naive to say that, like, that's not necessarily so, that this kid is completely brainwashed by the media. Not so, but you are the company that you keep.
Exactly.
And I'm getting a finger. The high school has to be held accountable and responsible
for
its actions.
Sorry, listening audience, not
that
finger.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're seeing it.
Not that finger.
Woohoo! For our first guest. No, I'm totally joking.
At least ground this kid for a week. Your first guest.
Oh, wow.
Is a wonderful quilt artist named Jane Fellows.
Yes. Yes, that's you. That's you.
Jane Fellows is part of the Fiber and Stitch Art Collective.
That's correct.
All right. Mm-hmm. And you're doing an exhibit at New Dominion Bookshop.
Yes.
February 1st. Mm-hmm. First Friday.
Yep.
First Friday of
February.
I knew that.
Yeah.
I thought it was like first Friday of like stitching for like 2019. I am so dumb. I am so dumb.
Oh, my goodness.
Jane, how are you today?
I'm doing well. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for your interest in our group.
No problem. Mm-hmm. I guess you see how we do with homegrown.
My mom's a quilter. So I have special interest. Hold on.
Right on.
All righty.
So I'm going to let you just leave this off, Leslie, right now, because we see this lovely stuff on the table that Jane has created. And I am less familiar with the art of quilting. So to the layperson, define what a quilt artist does and how they do it.
Okay. So the definition of a quilt is stitching together three layers. You have a surface layer, a filling or batting layer, and a backing. And what makes it a quilt is the stitching that holds all three of those layers together. Mm-hmm. There's a long history of quilting going back using scraps and fragments of fabric to stitch into bed coverings, bedspreads, and blankets. Mm-hmm. But
a quilt, I'm sorry to interrupt, a quilt is not a blanket. A quilt is not something that
a quilt can be a blanket.
It's a type of blanket.
Yeah.
Got you.
Yeah.
These are all important things.
But as you can see, like this one, it's actually a hanging, right? So mm-hmm. So you can put a dowel in there and hang it.
Got you.
And these are all, in our group, we're taking the tradition of quilting and using fabric and thread and taking it to the art level. So we're taking it designed for hanging on the wall, for interpreting subject matter and content in a different way. They're not designed necessarily to be functional pieces like a table runner or a pillow or a blanket, but for art for the wall.
So may I ask, what is that like to take a craft that is usually utilitarian and transform it into an art?
Well, there's a lot of tradition. It's been, in the last several decades, has been growing. And we're here, a Central Virginia group that has formed and come together to discuss these questions and these ideas and to push each other and to explore themes and to make a name for ourselves in Charlottesville and to... yeah, learn from each other and grow as artists.
And what kind of discussions have you had over the question?
Well, one of our most recent discussions was about what is derivative art and what is art versus art inspired by a master versus what is original and where you go with... is there anything new under the sun in the art world, or are we all just being inspired by each other, or is there something truly original and new? So that was one very recent discussion. We talk about, challenging each other. We're talking about doing a challenge where we look at a famous piece of art and then each of us choose to interpret it in some new way. So that's something that we'll be doing soon. Mm-hmm. For this show at New Dominion Bookstore is called Metamorphosis and Transformation. And so each of us mm-hmm. is going to be, has interpreted that theme differently. So there'll be 12 artists and maybe about 20 different art quilts on display at New Dominion for the month of February. And so that will be interesting to see how each different person interprets that theme.
Mm-hmm. It's funny how two of the three quilts that I see now embody the body of...
the female figure.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So it shows how And I'm going to just be completely 2019 sexist and assume that everybody in the group is...
Everybody is female yes. at this point.
Yeah. But, I'm looking for some male quilters out there.
Yeah,
if you want to come on Homegrown, you know, teach me something. Like, I would love to know.
There are some very famous male art quilters, but not in our group.
Right.
But all comers welcome.
What I'm trying to get to is that there's a certain personal empathetic effect that they put in there. Like, it's not just, it's, you know, some are just shapes and definitions, like, you know, average quilts, and some are actual, like, look like canvas
right.
work.
Right.
So it's like, it's funny when you ask somebody to, like, take a word, and how do you translate that, and they give you a piece of themselves.
That's ideal.
In something such as functional as quilt work.
Well, this is interesting, and these on the female form are my quilts, but there are other people who have interpreted landscapes or abstract art or kind of narrative, different childhood narratives. So there are a lot of different themes that are being explored. I personally have focused on the changing form of the female body and how that can metamorphosize over a lifetime as a teenage form and then a pregnant female. It's pretty significant and magnificent ability to change. And it's there's lots of other themes being explored. Go ahead.
Some little jelly. You know,
so
awesome.
So what are the different... So I know that, like I said, my mom's a quilter, so she doesn't hand stitch. She has a very special machine that she uses that costs a lot of money.
Right.
Nobody touches.
I mean, a lot of money.
don't even look at it.
No, don't even look at it sideways.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's like, it's this German thing. It costs like $5,000. It's crazy. But she makes gorgeous stuff from it.
Mm-hmm.
But this one specifically, I think it looks like it was hand done just because of the way the stitches look. But
so that's called free motion quilting, but it's done by machine.
Okay, this one's machine.
And
okay.
that piece is exploring photography and of a favorite tree, and then the person zoomed in and zoomed in and zoomed in and got closer and closer to the image, and it got more and more abstract. And then she added the piecing and the fabric, and then to free motion quilting is the using thread, kind of like a pen or a paintbrush, to add part. Color and texture and definition.
These
so this the free motion is really like painting with threads. So
yeah.
It's really quite a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And when you're doing free motion, because you're not following a path, you can actually choose what to accentuate on the quilt.
Right. And color and thickness of your thread choice
and
all kinds of different details that you can choose.
So it really is like creating a painting. It's a brush stroke.
It is. Yes.
Yeah.
This one combines stitching and paint, and this brown outline is done by machine stitching. This is done by machine. So you have a lot of flexibility, and the problem with the word quilt is everybody thinks of a traditional craft or something their grandmother did or their mother did, and what we're trying to do is figure out if we should stick with that word of quilt artist, or if we should go with textile artist or fiber artist or something else, because the word quilt connotes so much.
Tradition.
Well, I think you should do you. And I think that's important to ask if you want to deconstruct that meaning by still calling it a quilt. Because because when I think of quilts, pardon my blackness, but I think of black women, and this looks very modern. This looks very like new, and like I said, taken more inspired from paintings rather than other quilts.
Mm-hmm.
So it,
but it's also it also becomes an economic consideration, right? Because I am assuming that part of the reason you're doing this is so that people will buy them.
Some of us have pieces for sale. Some of the people are doing it just for the love of doing it, and okay. some of the pieces are not for
yeah,
sale.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, okay, well, if this is going to be an economic question, then how do you get people interested in what you're doing? Mm-hmm. You have to actually go to where they are, and so using the word quilt mm-hmm. is more, I would think, would be more inviting to... To a consumer. Oh,
it's
I kind of know what that is.
Right. They kind of know what it is, but often they're picturing, you know, the quilts of the G's Bend women and the black women.
And something larger, too.
Like yeah. Larger yeah. and for the bed and mm-hmm. for
all that. All that.
Oh, boy.
We're definitely going to get to, but we got to pay a bill, and then we'll get right back to it. I'm so sorry to cut you off. I just wanted
problem.
To get to it. Right.
No
problem. Jane Fell is with us. We talking quilts on Homegrown. This is... Homegrown. Drop!
Hello, my name is MK England, local librarian and author of The Disasters, and you're listening to Homegrown, your show about local art on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
17 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown, 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm David, that's Leslie. Clinton on the boards. Jane Fellows is in the house talking quilts, but not your average quilts. Not your mama's quilts. Not your grandmama's quilts. These are new, fresh, banging quilts. You can't get them nowhere else. Yeah. Exclusive.
At New Dominion Bookshop.
At New Dominion Bookshop going down February 1st. Metamorphosis and transformation is the theme of the art, of the quilt art that you will see at the made by the Fiber and Stitch Art Collective, which is a group of how many people, Jane?
We have probably about 20 or so active members in the group. Some come from as far away as Richmond to participate in our group. It's kind of a unique group. Mm-hmm. And there are a few people, maybe up to 30 people, who are paying attention, but not necessarily.
Right.
Yeah.
And I so rudely cut you off to get to our commercials because we live in a capitalist society. But capitalism does suck. Hashtag capitalism sucks. But y'all were talking about the economic aspect of quilt work, and I wanted to get back to that.
Yeah,
make sure you buy our homegrown merch. Our t-shirts, capitalism sucks. Our pins, capitalism sucks. And now the vanishing coffee mugs, right. Only for $12.95. Yes. All that say capitalism sucks.
So I know that when my mom does one of her you know bed quilts, I mean, she's putting in, you know, over 20 hours of work and, you know, buying the materials and everything. I mean, she does sell them. And, you know, she'll sell a quilt for, you know, $1,200 because of how much time she's putting in to making it.
Right.
So.
And if you're a well-known quilter, a famous quilter, national or international quilter, you can get paid a fair amount for your work, but it's hard for somebody to ask for a fair price given how much time they take.
Yeah.
Like if these art pieces take much more time than a painting, mm-hmm. and yet it would be hard if you're not well known to really sell them fair price.
So so the people in your group who do sell their works, how do they price them?
It's really hard because you can't price it on time because nobody would pay that much. And so you end up getting paid a pretty low hourly rate.
Right.
And it's...
Sounds like a lot of artists.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Exactly.
It's basically an art question like that. But it's when I sell something, I like to at least try to price it so that I feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to make a living off of my art. I do it for my love of it and the joy of it. And I don't even keep track of the amount of time each piece takes because the pleasure is working in my studio and losing track of time and just being thrown into it. So, it's like all the other artists, struggling artists out there. It's hard, but...
Is this the first, exhibit or
show
that
in Charlottesville.
The Joint Collective has done?
No, we just had one, a show in December at Westminster Canterbury of the Blue Ridge, the on Pantops, and then we've had a show at the Women's Initiative in Charlottesville.
Oh, great.
So we've had a show there. And previously, Indoor Biotechnologies is on Harris Street. They have a really nice gallery in that building. It's a Madeline Watkins and Martin Chapman. They're big supporters of the arts in Charlottesville, and they have a gallery in their scientific lab, and we've had a show there. So we'll have two shows in 2019, one at Studio X in October, and we'll have another show at the City Space downtown in Charlottesville in December.
Oh, wow.
So we're moving and shaking in Charlottesville.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
So how do you, are all of them going to have different themes?
They are.
So how do you choose the theme? Is it just like a collective decision, or you put ideas?
Yeah, you all decide something, and then you like make them, and then you do the show, or is it?
Yes, that's often like it. What we do, the show at Studio X is probably going to be a kind of just from the archive, so just something you've made in the past, maybe, and then the show at City Space in December is going to be best of 2019. So whatever work you can
If somebody was listening in and they're like, I like quilts and I do quilts, but I haven't heard of the Stitch Art Collective. Can they like send you an email? What's the
how do they get in?
How do you get in? Do they,
is there
a tattoo or a brand that you give with the hooded ceremony? Like what goes on?
There's no ceremony. We're happy for people.
Pledge your life to the quilt. And only the quilt. It is not a blanket. It is a type of blanket. Do you swear?
Yes, I swear.
You must ring the bell 3 times.
So shall it be done.
How did you guys know? It was a secret.
We've heard stories.
Yeah.
So, we've heard stories.
Really, I'm really surprised it got out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so going around.
Wow, it is a small town. It's a small town. Well, all right. Well, anybody's welcome. And I'm the primary contact person. So Jane Fellows. And
she holds the iron.
You can, my email address is dancingdeer.fellows@gmail.com. And you can come to our shows, and you can get on our email list, and we invite anybody who's interested, all different kinds of people.
Yeah.
That is very cool.
Yeah.
It's very cool. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
You know what? I think I'm going to invite my mom to one of the shows.
You should.
You know, it's quilts. She'll be like, what?
She probably got a couple in her bag right now. She's like oh, I'm seriously. Funny that you asked. Like,
because she doesn't just do, like, functional stuff. She does wall hangings and stuff all the time. Like, she has a special one that she does for Christmas that is literally, it's a white background and it's got a Christmas tree. And you know my mama, she loves bling. So she literally got little like gold balls that are like, yes, she put ornaments on the tree. I was like, mama, really? You put ornaments on the tree? Hi.
100%
or nothing at all.
So is there... This is really fascinating because I really like the idea of once again taking this thing which we have particular boundaries around in terms of how we think about it and just really opening it up. Is there anything that you can't cover in an artistic quilt? Is there anything that you can't do? I just imagine that there's the potential for the potential for it to be a really powerful representative medium.
It is, and sometimes it can get controversial. And there was
because of the history and the nuance
history and
it.
The content, the topic, and so it was a venue in Michigan, and they participants, somebody complained because it was too edgy and it was too uncomfortable, and they weren't comfortable with the imagery, and, you know, became kind of in the art quilt world about censorship and freedom of speech. And so you can go a lot of different ways. A lot of the art quilt is political, is racial, is speaking to the discontent of the time. So there's a lot out there. Our group hasn't gone in that direction terribly, but there are other groups that really have cutting edge content, and it's,
oh, yeah,
it's very open.
But just the acknowledgement that your medium has historic and, like,
yes,
serious, like, implications,
yes,
embedded in the fabric of America, mm-hmm, and all around, like, that's important. And
it is, yeah.
I think to recognize that is just as important to implement it in the world. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, it is interesting. And that's one of the reasons to hold on to the word of quilt, because
oh,
of
yeah,
the history.
Yeah.
So it's a double-edged sword there. That
yeah.
Way. Yeah.
And we've got less than a minute, but I'm burning to ask this question. How much do people experiment with the form of the quilt? Like, are people making asynchronous patterns, or do they deal with different size pieces together? Are they experimenting with repetition, or maybe trying to build one thing like a mosaic?
All of that is happening. People are experimenting with sheer fabrics so that you can see light coming through it.
Mm.
People are experimenting with three-dimensional quilts.
Yeah.
And vessels.
Yeah.
And
oh yeah.
What?
Sculpture.
Seriously,
and,
go to a quilt show. You will see some of the most crazy, mm-hmm, but most beautiful things you've ever seen in your life. And literally you'll be like, how, I don't even understand how that was created. Like, it's so gorgeous. There's this thing now, people are actually doing portraits on quilt, and it's like, from far away, it just looks like a painting. Mm-hmm. And then you get up close and you realize, like, how the stitching, how the free form stitching has, like, accentuated the person's yeah, eyes and the person's nose, and how it's like, it is insane.
All right. I expect to see you three at the quilt show at New Dominion Bookshop.
I want my see-through quilt by 3 o'clock.
All righty.
We got my invoice to you shortly.
Okay. Very good.
Nah.
Yeah.
Jane Fellows, thank you so much. I'm sure you'll be back when y'all do the next show. Clinton will handle the details. My associate.
Thank you. Thank you for your interest,
we'll
guys.
We'll contact your people.
Very good.
Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Alrighty.
All right. Let's get to some artistic events, shall we? I got music pumping. Cool.
Is there music?
All right. Cool. Let's do it. Here are just some of the artistic events happening this week. Currently running through April 13th, the American Shakespeare Center presents its 2019 Actors Renaissance Season, featuring Henry IV, Part 1. The Merry Wives of... The best part.
Let's be
real here.
One.
The Merry Wives of Windsor by William Shakespeare, starting February 7th. And Paige Hates Fun, starting March 8th. Arden of Faversham at the Blackfriars Theater in Stanton.
Ooh.
Last Chance, McGuffey Associate Artist Kelly Lonergan's show. Kenny Lonergan? I know, and then there were two at the McGuffey Arts Center. Also, check out their new member show. Kelly, come on to the show. Correct your name for me. Today, auditions
and then
for
Guerrilla
Theater's production, The Glass Menagerie. Yes, it's a wonderful show. Contact the theater to arrange an audition. For real? January 31st through February 2nd, the University of Virginia Drama Department presents the New Works Festival with original pieces by student playwrights in UVA's Helms Theater. Also January 31st, the UVA MFA Reading Series continues with grad students Emily Lawson and Ann Beecher reading from their works. I can only do it correctly if I do it like that. Reading from their works at the New Dominion Bookshop. February 1st, First Fridays, where you can catch art openings and venues in and around downtown. Check out the following shows. Second Street Gallery pairs two painters with two photographers, Sharon Shapiro and Stacy. I only read bits of word at a time.
Bits of word?
So, photographers, Sharon Shapiro, Stacy Evans, McGuffey Arts Center, and Russ Warren and Bill Moritz. McGuffey Arts Center observes Black History Month, it better be, by celebrating Charlottesville's black creative community. Look for works by Del Rose, Rose Hill, Michael A. Williams, Anthony Scott, Dina Jennings, Bolanle Adeboye.
Yes, you said it right.
Liz Cherry Yay! Jones, Sahara Clemency, I get the black names right, and more. New City Arts, an exhibit of paintings, embroideries, and sculptures inspired by Latina women by Karina A. Monroy. I'm working on the Latina people. Yeah. Coroma Arts Project presents Laura Wooten, Spirit of Place, Landscapes Real and Imagined, and Jennifer Esser, When Time Abstracts Truth. Fiber and Stitch Arts Collective. I've heard of them.
I have.
At New Dominion Bookshop. We should check that out. Yeah, February 1st. And Megabo Dance Concert at the McGuffey Arts Center. And for your music options this week.
Okay, you got to move your cup.
Move.
Move your cup.
My bad.
It's in the way.
I moved it. It's done.
Today, the Silas Fraser Band at the Batesville Market at 1 p.m. Onion and the Melted Crayons at Pippin Hill Farm and Vineyards at
Pippin
1
o'clock. Pippin Hill, not Pimpin Hill.
But
that would be awesome,
Onion
though.
And the Melted Crayons? How is that? Okay, never mind. Aaron Lunsford at Glasshouse Winery at 2. Today, the UVA McIntyre Department of Music presents the third of six concerts in their University of Virginia Chamber Music Series this afternoon, featuring pieces for bassoon and piano at Old Cowboy Hall at 3:30. The 29th, get your hardcore rock at the Ix Art Park with Genosha, Satori Daydream, Ruckus the Bulldog, Harrison Birds, Brick, and Love Roses from Richmond. Those are some interesting band names.
All with bassoon and piano solos.
Right, exactly. No, piccolo. Piccolo. UVA McIntyre Department of Music and the Bridge Progressive Arts Initiative continue their telemetry music series at the Bridge PI this month with Dana Jessen and Erica Dicker and Alex Christie and Kevin Davis. Sorry, it's far away. January 30th, Bobblehead at Dirty Nellie's, Kendall Street Company. Well, it just says Kendall Street Company. Where are they? Anyway. They're playing somewhere. Look it up.
Yeah.
The 31st, the Weed Eaters at the Whiskey Jar, Michael Ellswick and Company at Fellini's. February 1st, Susie and the Pistols at Glasshouse Winery. Tanya Ray and the T-Ray Band host the Soul Train Dance Party at Ix.
Hell yeah.
Eli Cook at Dirty Nellie's, Chicken Head Blues Band at Fellini's, Leisure Suite Larry at Holly's Diner.
Leisure Suite Larry.
I told you it's far away.
I know.
Sorry, Leisure Suit Larry. Still, weird band name. Sorry. February 2nd, Mojo Pie at Homemade Cider Works. The Blue Ridge. Stop moving it!
Sorry.
David! The Blue Ridge Irish Music School Traditional Ensemble at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Also the 2nd, the Buzzard Hollow Boys at the Batesville Market. Susan Munson with Rusty and Frank at Dirty Nellie's. Hey, Susan, what's up, girl? Stop moving. David.
I moved over.
You know what? I'm taking the mouse. Thank you. Luchador at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. John Dirth and Friends at Fellini's. All right. Every Sunday, we got Travis Elliott at Rapture. Every Monday, the Bluegrass Jam at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Seafoot, Charlottesville Friends of Old Time Music. Weekly Open Jam at the Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church. Say that five times fast. Yeah. Tango Music with Miles Pierce and Maddie Medcalf at the Bebadero. Red and the Romantics at the Whiskey Jar, the ATM Unit at Rapture. Songwriter Night at the Local. That's on Monday. Oh, Tuesday. Wow. Latin Guitar Night with Miles Pierce and Humberto Sales at the Bebadero. The Ragged Mountain String Band at the Whiskey Jar. Traditional Session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Every Wednesday, Open Mic Night at Holly's Deli and Pub, hosted by Josh Mayo. Jazz Collective Number 9 at Fellini's Number 9. Bachata Fusion at the Ix Park. And the Mike Krasinski and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's.
Wow.
Every Thursday, Humberto Sales and Vincent Zorn do Gypsy Rumba at the Bebadero. Wow. Every Thursday.
Can you say Gypsy anymore?
Every Thursday.
Okay, sorry.
John Dirth! At Miller's. All right. Whew,
every
Lord.
Thursday, you just got to come down to dirt.
All right. Can we do a drop?
We're going to do some drop. We're going to pay some bills. Be back with Priyanka Shetty. This is Homegrown. Drop!
Hi, this is Charlie Pasterfield.
Susan Munson.
And Stuart Home.
From Mama Tried.
And you're listening to
Homegrown Radio on 94.7.
35 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm David. That's Leslie. Clinton on the boards. Priyanka Shetty is in the house.
Hello.
For the first time.
He got your name right.
Well, I'm brown, so.
Yes! That's it!
That's what it is.
You know,
brown folks get the good name treatment.
Clinton is melting in his chair over
there. It helps. I'm just saying it helps. The elephant in the room.
I'm just saying I'm the one who gets all the complaints.
I don't tell you guys about the complaints. I'm the one who fields all of the complaints.
You know what, baby? Send them to me. You know, send them to me. I would be I happy text to field them back from now on.
Right away. The elephant.
And that's why I'm the one who gets all the complaints.
Charlottesville.
The Elephant in the Room, her one-person show, is going down at the UVA Helms Theater February 3rd and 4th. Priyanka, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So, the show is based on your experience being a brown person
right
here in America. Can and your exact ethnicity is...
Indian.
Okay. All right.
It's a story of my transition from India to America. So I talk about my struggles back home, even getting here.
Right.
And then when I thought it was all over and life's going to be good, I came here.
And you had a whole nother set of problems, didn't you?
Yeah, something I wasn't prepared for.
Yeah.
So much that I had to write a whole show about it.
Right. We are so sorry.
No, because when I saw it, I imagined like just the process of you writing it, like you coming home is like, if one person says one more thing like this to me, I'm gonna cut somebody. Like, I just imagine you just like writing this diatribe and like just
Priyanka
boom,
got 99 problems
done.
And
how long did the show take for you to write?
Well, a couple of months. I remember it was winter break last year, right? No, yeah, year before that.
Right.
And I was in Columbus, Ohio. I was spending my winter break there. And I was going to the
lovely
library.
Lovely place for people of color to be. Columbus, Ohio.
Well, it's better than Charlottesville, Virginia. Well,
all right. Okay. Shots fired.
No, I'm just
continue.
Kidding. But,
no, don't.
Yeah,
no,
so
no.
I was in the library and I was preparing for submitting this work to a playwriting fellowship at CATCO, which is a theater company in Columbus. I used to spend like literally the entire day there writing, and I overwrote, and I had over 70 pages of my experience.
Yes.
But then I'm so glad I overwrote, because then when I condensed it was literally everything that I needed to write. I submitted to the playwriting fellowship. I won it, but then I Yay! Couldn't win it. No, don't celebrate.
Okay.
I couldn't Aww. Win it because I was still a student at UVA and that was against the rules. But they offered to produce it last summer. So I had my first production at Columbus, Ohio, as part of the South Asian Theater Festival.
That's right. Amazing.
And they loved it so much, they said, we're going to premiere it too. So Evolution Theater in Columbus, Ohio is teaming up with CATCO, which is the company that produced it.
Right.
And then they are presenting the world premiere in March.
That's amazing.
I'm super excited. Yeah.
Well, Columbus is all right.
See, I told you.
All right.
So this is... you know, I got my research department over here. This is your second time doing the show here in Charlottesville. You did it.
No, in Charlottesville, it's the first time.
Okay, cool. But you've done it before.
Yes.
Has there been any reworks? Is there anything that you wanted to do differently with this run that
Absolutely.
You didn't do in
the like, previous? Without giving away too much, the first time that I did it, it was... almost, it was not a stage reading, but it was very minimalistic and stripped down.
Right.
Because I had to, I had a limited time to work on it. And then
budget
it was
concerns.
The first time. Yeah. So, but this time I've really added more layers. And
oh, good.
It's definitely, it's new works, right? You keep working on it. It keeps evolving.
Yeah.
So it has definitely evolved since the last time. And I'm really excited. And I'm sure between this show and my world premiere, it's going to evolve a little more.
Yeah.
So it's a continuing
And was that process. An intentional like thing just to like keep yourself excited in the work? Or was it just something like, I just really need to artistically shape this up?
Well, I really look at the previous performance as a workshop production. And I after I'd performed that, based on the audience responses and what I felt on stage, I felt like, okay, this work needs reworking. This this is great. I'm going to leave it as it is. So I'm sure with every performance, something new is going to be revealed.
Right.
And I'll be fine-tuning it more and more. What is the most effective way to tell my story?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of theater artists, not just in this room, but that listen to the show. But not very many of them have written something and then written something so personal and then performed it. So how is that different? I know, I obviously know it's different, but how different is it from being handed a monologue that you identify with because it's written by a person of color, but like having written the words and then having to perform them? Yeah. Like that's a different level of engagement with a piece.
Yeah. Close. I mean, it's helped me a lot as an actor because these experiences, I mean, these things actually happen to me.
Right.
Some of the people that I'm playing are actually my mom or my brother.
Right.
Or people important to me. And just as an actor, it's really helped me realize that this is what I need to be doing with other people's words.
Yeah.
And memorization is easier because it's in my style of writing.
You know what? That is so interesting because, you know, when I have tried to memorize something that I've written, it is the most horrid thing on the planet for me because I'm just like, I can't do it. It freaks me out. Like something goes weird in my brain and I'm like, no, I'm not memorizing it like that. I don't know what it is. But well, that's interesting that you say that it was easier for you to memorize. That's cool.
It's easier to the actual sentence structure itself, but then my thoughts go from one place to the other so much. I'm such a scatterbrained person, and I've written it in that way. And I'm like,
my sister.
The actor me is going, playwright me, you suck.
Right.
I can't do this.
Right?
Right? So that, yeah. I mean, there are some things that are a struggle.
For the last decade and a half, we've seen a lot of, in the theater, we've seen a lot of actors who are writing their own shows and writing their own material in response to not being able to get opportunities and not be able to get, and especially for actors of color.
Amen.
They supplant the lack of parts and the lack of opportunities they have by producing their own material. Was this a part of what was going on?
Absolutely.
With The Elephant? By the way, The Elephant in the Room, best title ever.
Thank you. Because of the Indian stereotypical.
Yes.
Yes.
We got it.
Yeah, we got it. I got it.
Well, I chuckle. Absolutely. And thank you so much for bringing that up because I was tired of not only playing the stereotypical roles of an Aborigine or the scientist or the cleaning lady, you know? That was one thing. And two.
Because I had to know, because like you're at UVA. I know the stuff that they put on at UVA. No, I mean, saying nothing against UVA, but, you know, it's a lot of vanilla cream. I mean, maybe they sprinkle some chocolate on top every once in a while.
Wow, right.
There cannot be a lot of parts for you.
There aren't. And even if there are, sometimes people have difficulty imagining me. Like, I can see myself playing that.
Totally.
Like, in Columbus, Ohio, you were giving Columbus hell. But they cast me as...
History.
In a role, in a lead role in Skylight, which is originally supposed to be played by a British woman.
Yeah.
But they were so smart. They were like, there's a huge Indian population in Britain.
Yes.
There you go.
Kira Hollis can be Indian. And
yes.
Totally.
So if it's really not that hard to imagine.
No, it's not.
You know.
No.
So, but.
And it actually can add to performances. It can deepen. It can deepen plays. It can, like, I'm sorry. You know what? Tennessee Williams, he was writing for black people. I don't know what in the world y'all think. He writing for black people, okay, is completely permissible to do There's an entirely black cast of anything that Tennessee Williams wrote because he was writing, he was tipping his hat to the black vernacular. Mm-hmm. Like, come on, let's be real.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but you're right. It is hard for people to imagine, especially if they've never seen it.
Yeah. And it really surprises me because at the end of the day, these are human stories.
Right.
Right? I can see, like, I've played Eliza Doolittle in My Fair Lady, and that's really a running joke over here that, oh, shouldn't it be like My Brown Lady? But what Eliza Doolittle went through.
You know what? I'm just.
I know.
I didn't find that funny.
I am feeling some type of way about that.
It's not funny,
It's funny. Not funny.
But, well, what I'm saying is that these are human experiences and anybody can go through them.
And anyone can go through them. Yes.
And if you put that on stage, I mean, theater is all about imagination.
Right.
Yeah. Right? It really doesn't matter. The audience may go for a second, oh, well, could this be a person be born in this country at this time? And then they just...
And then they forget about it because they're in the story.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
We're going to do a drop.
We got to pay some bills. We got to do a drop.
And when Leslie Odom Jr. came to UVA, not this time, but the last time, he mentioned something like, and I was in the audience, and it hit me so hard. He mentioned something like, you really cannot be your true authentic self on stage if you're not telling your stories.
How about that?
Right? And I hadn't written this then, and I was like, oh, man, I really, really, really need to write this story.
Yes.
And I feel that. Mm-hmm. And I feel that the person that I am on stage when I'm performing this piece, I wish I could be that in every show because I'm telling my story. There's a person.
Well, if it's your story, you can be that. And we're gonna do a commercial, but we're gonna come back. We're gonna talk about the responses that you're getting and all of that afterwards. This is Priyanka Shetty. This is Homegrown. Drop.
This is Jamal Milner, and you're listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC.
If you're just tuning in, this is Homegrown 94.7 WPVC.
And you have missed almost all of the show. You know what? I'm done with you. I'm done.
Priyanka is disappointed.
Done with you. Like, you just tuning in. What? 48 minutes in? 48. 48. That, set an alarm, people. That's all I'm saying.
Priyanka Shetty.
An alarm.
Is in the house talking about the elephant in the room. Her one person show that she wrote herself. Because damn everybody else.
That's right.
UVA Helms Theater, February 3rd and 4th. It's going down. So you did the show in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
You got the feedback.
Oh, yeah.
How many people in the audience kind of said, thank you?
I thought people are going to be offended. And so I've called out India too. Like, I've spoken about problems in both of the countries.
Right on.
And there were Indians in the audience because this was South Asian Theater Festival.
Right.
And there were a lot of Americans in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And what surprised me the most was people from the African American community, people from the LGBTQIA plus community came and told me, thank you for telling our story.
Mm.
And my mind was blown because
But it was my story.
Yeah. No, but right. And I didn't realize that, wow, we have so much in common.
Yeah, because these experiences parallel. We might not have the same, like, we might not come from the same places and eat the same food and all this stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, but
it's
together,
not
we struggle the same way.
It's like, not the same racial slur, but you're still getting it.
Yeah, people still look down at the job interview and then look up and
look down. Look down,
We still get the same issue.
Or they do the phone interview and they have one reaction to you, and then when you walk in the door, oh. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, they're pretty much all the same. But, did that kind of like validate in your writing, like, or did you even need a validation for your writing?
Well, I kind of did, because I'll tell you why. You write something and you don't know how it's going to be received. It's important to you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Is it an important art piece?
Mm-hmm.
That was a question I had.
Right.
But it turned out, at least from that experience, that it was. People needed to see this, and we found common ground. You know, and there was this just high after the show. Everyone, like, I came out at the end of the show, you know, took my bow and everything. And I had people on stage in the audience, and they were my friends. So I was greeting them, and I turned around and people were still standing, clapping. I mean, it really moved them.
Mm-hmm.
And they connected to it personally.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something I needed to see, because I didn't know it would do that, because it was... Until then, it was just my story.
Right.
But then at that moment, I realized, wow, maybe this is our story. And there was something special that was exchanged.
Yeah.
You know?
So you wrote the piece. You performed the piece. What happens when you forget a line?
You just make something up.
I was going to say, that's the best thing.
They can't tell.
Right.
Yeah. That's when playwright Priyanka comes in. I've got you.
I'll be taking over from here.
Step back for a moment. I've got this.
I've got you. I'm going to write something new for you right now.
But I forget where I was listening to it. It was a podcast of something, but of some sort. But somebody said, people aren't given the credit that they deserve in terms of, like, speaking about these issues and our similarities based in our differences. And I think there's not enough
talk about these issues is because people aren't given the credit to do so. Everybody's afraid of like uproar, you know. They say it at work. Don't talk about religion or politics.
Don't talk
about all of these things that are necessary for us to talk about.
And of course, the reason that we're in the predicament we are in is because we don't talk about it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we apologize.
We apologize for even having an opinion. Yeah. Like it's yeah.
We apologize. Yeah. We avoid conflict. There's a lot of things that go down.
So. The one person show.
Yeah.
Confining or freeing?
Freeing by confining. Mm. Because, okay, so here's the thing. So it starts, my play starts off very, like, open. The whole space is mine. I'm going to talk to everyone. And it gets smaller and tighter and tighter and tighter and darker and darker. And then there's a... I've put everything out there, and you're with me in this moment. It's like a mini explosion. The elephant in the room.
Or implosion.
Yeah. But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, I thought you were going to ask me about the unapologetic.
Well, now that you've dropped that, let's not stop that.
Right.
How is it unapologetically Indian? What is an unapologetically Indian show?
Well, if you see, I mean, most of the Indians I see here, and including myself maybe in the beginning, we're trying to be American. We're trying to be fit in. My name is Rohan. No, it's not Rohan. It's Rohan. You're not Shashank. It's Shashank. Just say your name right so others can get it right.
Yes.
And, you know, by unapologetically Indian, I mean I'm going to be unapologetically me with my roots and with warts and all, you know, all the ugliness that comes with the patriarchy and the arranged marriage and all of those that shit that I had to deal with. And maybe I even break into a Bollywood dance number. I don't know.
You have to come
and see it. Yeah.
Oh God!
It's gonna be awesome.
He's gonna be giggling for like 20 minutes.
No, you have to see this.
How much is the show?
It's free.
What?
No!
All of this goodness for free.
What?
Yeah, it's a free event. Yeah, and you don't even have to get tickets.
Free
you just
99.
Have to walk in.
How are you gonna keep people from just bum rushing the theater?
I know.
I don't know. Well, the gods will keep them up.
Because, you know, I'm bringing a squad. We need to bring a squad.
Bring a squad.
Yeah. Mm.
How has UVA reacted to this piece?
Well, they haven't seen it yet. No, I'm kidding. Well, my department's been very supportive. They know some of the struggles that I've dealt with. And Colleen, who's the head of our MFA program, was very supportive when I said that I want to present this. So usually we're cast in a show every semester. And I requested that, you know, this semester I want to do my own show.
Yes.
So leave me out of the productions in the department. And...
I don't want to
be an Aborigine again.
I don't even want to be there. Just don't. I'm off the email list. Just
I have to.
No.
and she agreed. And I have to mention Teresa Davis, who is not even my professor. She's amazing. Lady T has seen me through the initial stages of writing this piece until, you know, even now, like we met yesterday and she's like, okay, we need to work on this and this and this. She is instrumental in the creation of this piece. Yeah.
She's an amazing,
so I've had a lot
amazing
of support
artist.
From the
department. Cool. Yeah. Yeah, I love Lady T.
So, is this something that you kind of want to like just keep in house, or do you want to take to different playhouses?
Oh, I'm touring. I am touring after this. There are a couple of places that are lined up. So, the world premiere in Columbus, Ohio, will be in March, and after that, I start a tour.
Exclusive.
Okay, well, you'll have to let us know when those dates are,
absolutely,
so we can, you know, so we can announce it, so we can promote it, like, you know.
Yeah, all that.
But
all
for
that.
Now, it's on February 3rd and 4th at 7 p.m. at the Helms Theater at UVA Department of Drama.
Awesome.
Right, and that's Sunday and Monday, right?
Yes, that's right.
All right.
Cool.
Are we going Sunday or Monday?
I don't know. I mean, I guess we got to have to reserve seats because it's not a big theater.
It's not a big theater, and the sucker's gonna, I mean,
you just have to come early and grab the good ones.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So we're gonna like grab dinner or something before.
Yeah. We'll make it happen.
Great.
We'll be there.
Yay. Bianca Shetty.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
When you get big and famous.
So
come
good
on back
to see it. Can't wait. Can't wait.
Rant?
No.
All right.
I told you I was babysitting a 17-year-old.
That's right. That's right.
Did
unlike
you
me,
forget?
17-year-old in the brain. Leslie, I love you. Clinton, I love you.
I love you too, David.
We'll be back next week. Giving it up to Sunday morning wake up call. They always do good stuff. Cool. Peace.
Peace.
That was great. Thank you.
Yay.
You've been listening to Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art. We'd like to thank our guests, Jane Fellows and Priyanka Shetty. Our opening music is from Spit Out of Ink. Our event music is by Positive Collective. This is Angel Metro playing now from her new album. Any complaints about Homegrown should be directed, and I know there are going to be complaints about Homegrown. Any complaints about Homegrown should be directed to our attorneys at the fine lisping law firm of Tochterman, Overman, Munson & Burke. Legal services that wrap around you like a thong. Remember to keep your dial on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. We will see you next week.
WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.